Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
This may not have occurred to you recently, but God has put you on this planet for a purpose. Today, He wants you to make a difference in someone's life. Next, on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover the difference makers from God's Word. Nobody is insignificant. Everybody needs someone, and everybody needs to be a difference maker. But not everybody is a difference maker. Not everybody makes a difference in the lives of others. Today, we're going to study the difference makers from God's Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Welcome to this edition of Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, we open God's Word together. We invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org, where you can subscribe to this program via podcast. You can also receive or read Dr. Chappell's daily devotional and enjoy and find out much more information about this ministry, Daily in the Word. Today, our series is The Difference Makers. Here's a word of introduction from Paul Chappell.
Joshua became a leader through years of following a man named Moses. Isn't that how God works? Before He gives us greater opportunity, He wants us to be faithful in the smaller things of life. Well, today as we turn to Joshua chapter 4, we're going to learn how God used this man to make a difference in his generation. God used this man, who was in many ways a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, to lead others on to greater spiritual victory. May He use us to do the same. Let's go to our Bible study today.
Now, a lot of people come to church and they see, but they never sense. They see what God did or could do, but they never believe in their heart that God could do that for them. And God said, Joshua, don't just look at the walls of that city. I want you to sense in your heart that I'm about to take those walls down. And Joshua got it. He didn't just go to church that day, but he believed that God could do something great in his life. And that leads us, thirdly, to the progression of Joshua. Joshua began to follow God's lead. Joshua began to do exactly what the Lord had told him. In chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And the captain of the Lord's host, that's the Lord Jesus himself, appearing to Joshua, said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And God began to give Joshua his instructions. Joshua was a great leader, but he first and foremost was a great follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man willing to be in authority, but he understood as a man in authority, he was under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about a young girl that was making application to college, and they had a lot of questions on the application. And one of the questions stunned her. It said, are you a leader? And she had never been asked that question before. She thought about it. She got frustrated by it a little bit. And finally, she just wrote, N-O. And she thought, I probably won't get to go to this college, but I'm not really a leader, and I'm going to be honest. And so she sent the application along, and she never expected to hear back from the college again. And so a few weeks later, she got a letter from the college, and it said this, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms for this year shows the college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is important that they have at least one follower." Now, please remember this. The great leader Joshua, who said, put the ark out into the middle of the Jordan River, who said, we're going to march around the walls of the city of Jericho. That man, that great man, was a man who first and foremost knew how to obey and humble himself at the voice of God. He was a man who was willing to follow God's lead. He then prepared the people for the battle. And we read in verses 3 through 5 what God's battle plan was. God's battle plan was simply this, that each morning for 6 mornings, there were to be men that would walk around the wall one time. They, according to the word of God, were to be taking the Ark of the Covenant. They were to walk around this wall of the seventh day 7 times with the Ark of the Covenant and with the priests. And then they were to blow the horn, known as the shofar, and it was to be blown. And then they were to shout for the victory, and then the walls were going to come down. Now, folks, there's a lot of study in military maneuvers and strategy. There are war colleges given over to this. People are scratching their head right now about North Korea. People are wondering and strategizing, I'm sure, as we sit here today in the Pentagon and wondering, what in the world are we supposed to do? But I can guarantee you that in the Pentagon, I can guarantee you that in the war colleges, there is no war plan that calls for marching one time a day around a particular city, maybe Pyongyang, and then 7 times around on the 7th day and then blowing horns. I don't think that would be considered great military strategy. And I suppose Joshua could have said, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I heard about Noah and the ark. I understand, you know, but I just don't know about this. I suppose the priest could have even said to Joshua, what are you talking about? But God had a plan. And we are learning this morning that God wants us to obey his plan. Baptism may not make sense to you. Serving God may not make sense to you. Getting involved in singing and praising or giving to the Lord may not make sense to you. But until you are willing to obey God in the areas that don't make sense, you may be hindered from receiving the blessing of God in your life. And so they did what God said. They marched around 6 days. And on the 7th day, they marched around and they blew the horns. And when we were over in Israel, I wondered, what kind of a souvenir can I get from the Holy Land? And I kind of watched around. There were all different kinds. My favorite t-shirt was a shirt that said, don't worry, America, Israel has your back. I liked that attitude. But we were in the old city one day and we walked by a place that had shofars. This is a ram's horn. And this is what the priests would use to call people to worship, and this is what was used as they went 7 times around the walls of Jericho, and then they would blow the shofar and shout, and the walls came tumbling down, and God gave a great victory. Now, I'm not really good at musical instruments, so I'm going to ask our music minister, Brother Schmidt, and I'm going to just be honest with you, he didn't do real well in the first service, right? So this is his redemption time right here this morning. But they all went around the walls, and then they blew the shofar. How many of you think Brother Schmidt can do it this time? All right, we're for you, Brother Schmidt. So give a blow on this shofar here. Let's see. Let's see how the walls are going to come down. We got a crack in the wall. That's about it. How many think you should try one more time? I don't know how to tell you this. There was a little Jewish lady about 5'1". In the gift shop that sold this to me, and she made this sound like a trumpet. I'm not saying you're a wimp, Brother Schmidt. I'm just telling what she did. I'm not speaking about what you. But I do want to find maybe one of our trumpet players in the orchestra would play this thing for us. But the Bible says they followed God's direction. Some of you ladies, your husband is looking for you to help in being a submissive wife. And some of you men, your wife is looking for you to be a leader. So it just doesn't, I don't understand it. Joshua didn't say, God, I just don't understand it. Joshua just did what God said. It's the opposite of rebellion. It's obedience. And God saw the obedience of his people, and God brought the walls of Jericho down. Now God said, when this happens, I want you to honor me. And one of the aspects of this victory is found in chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing. Now, the possessions of the camp of pagan people were called accursed things. And God says, I don't want you to take those things unto yourself. But all the silver, and he says, I want you to stay away from the accursed things. I want you to stay away from the pagan idols. But all the silver and gold and vessels and brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, just if you would, before they would begin their other battles, and even as God gave them the spoils of Egypt, they would have other spoils. They would have possessions and lands. But God says, this is the first battle, and God says, the first fruits are mine. And he says, when you see the silver, you see the gold, I want you to bring that into the treasury of the Lord. And God had a plan for them to honor him first. And my friends, God has a plan for us to honor him first. And when God blesses you in your job, God blesses you with your paycheck, God says, I want you to bring me the first fruits. And this is the principle of the first fruits. He says, I want you to honor me as I have blessed you. Don't partake of that. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And what I'm saying to you is that Joshua was obedient in every aspect of God's direction. He did exactly what God said. And so we see this man making a difference, first, because he had faith to cross the Jordan. And secondly, because he had obedience to trust God in every single direction that God gave to him. Folks, you don't have to be a Bible college graduate or a Hebrew scholar to be a great Christian. You don't have to know every command or promise of God, but you will be held responsible for what you do know from the Bible. And what Joshua knew was that God had a plan for taking Jericho, and Joshua followed that plan exactly, and God blessed Joshua. Notice thirdly and finally, not only his faith and his obedience, but finally, his courage made a difference. Joshua was a courageous man, a man with great courage because of God's strength. Turn over to chapter 10 and verse 43. Chapter 10 and verse 43, just to get the picture. It says, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. Now, they've been battling, they've been conquering cities, and now they come back to the camp. Remember the 12 stones? Remember the Passover? It's the place where they high-fived and relaxed. And now they're at Gilgal, but while they're at Gilgal, there's a problem developing in the north. And we read about it in chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass when Jabin, the king of Hazor, had heard that those things that he sent to Jobab, the king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Ashpath, and to the kings that were on the north, on the mountains, and of the plains of the south at Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west. And then it mentions the Canaanites and the other kings under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. Verse 4, and they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the sea in the multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Now notice the raid against Joshua that is being prepared. Just like David, Joshua had his enemies, David would have his enemies. And what we read there is that there is a northern alliance of kings getting ready to come and fight against Joshua. They heard about Jericho. They weren't going to wait for the man. They were rallying together to fight against Joshua and the children of Israel. And so this began, verse 1, with Jabin, the king of Hazor. Now, we were in Hazor a few weeks ago in the Holy Land. And standing here, we see a portion of the wall. And these ancient cities have been inhabited by many different groups of people throughout the times. We know that they were inhabited by the Romans. They were inhabited later by in the Byzantine area, in the Ottoman Empire, and all the way even until the British rule period before 1948. Some of these ancient cities had outposts and so forth. But the archaeologists have dug down to the early civilizations and have found that this city of Hazor or Hazor existed exactly as the Bible says. Jabin had his name inscribed at the on some of the lowest level of the strata of rocks in this city. And in the distance, you can see the waters known as the waters of Merom. We read about them in the Bible a moment ago. On the next slide, you see the altar in this city, like Jericho, a pagan city. Like Megiddo last week, this city had human sacrifices and pagan in the worst form. You can see the gate on the next slide, and just really about 4 or 5 feet up now. But in the biblical time, this would have been a major entry and exit to the city of Hazor. And this king gathered all the other kings from this particular region. And later, this would, by the way, be one of Solomon's fortresses. And this was a major outpost. But they left their outpost and they came by the waters of Merom, and they gathered as the sand of the sea soldiers to fight against Joshua. The raid against Joshua was being prepared. But notice, secondly, the reliance of Joshua. Joshua had a choice. Joshua could have stayed at Gilgal and relaxed, or he could preemptively come against the enemies of the people of God. And the Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 11, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel." Hey, how about the word of God? Joshua, don't be afraid. Tomorrow we're going to take care of them. And just like he said, you're going to cross the Jordan. And just like he said, you're going to see Jericho tumble down. He said, Joshua, we're going to take care of these enemies too. Let me ask you a question. Why do you question God? Why do we sometimes think God can't take care of our needs when we've entrusted our soul to Him? And Joshua is showing us that when we have great faith in God's word, we can courageously move forward and do the work that He's called us to do. Notice, if you will, on the map to try to understand a little bit of what He's going to do. He's going to come from Jericho. He's going to come 60 miles to the north, past the Sea of Galilee, with all of his armies. And instead of waiting in Gilgal, he is going to go and take the battle to them. This is the courage of Joshua, to have great trust in the Lord. He heard the promise of God in verse number 6, and then he claimed the promise in verse 7. It says, "So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon him." Now, my friend, this morning, nothing is too big for God to accomplish in your life. And God is simply waiting for men and women to courageously step out and do battle for Him. Oh, there are many things in our lives that we face that require reliance upon God. I think of the building programs here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and as we prepare to build new driveways and then a children's building and other things. And I'm simply saying, it requires faith in the Word of God and courage to trust God. And some may say, this is not the time. But my friend, the fact of the matter is that with God, His timing is always right. It may be a building program. It may be building your family. And God is calling you to stay faithful to your family. And you have a husband, you have a wife, you have children, you're a single parent. And this week, Time Magazine featured article on families that are breaking apart. Conservative people, elected people, and they're breaking up, and the family's falling apart. And I want to say to you this morning, I want to challenge you to have courage to stay with your family. Love your family. Encourage them. And I'm not preaching against someone who's had a separation or divorce. I'm trying to help people that are together right now to stay together. And I'm saying, have courage and trust in God, and lean on Him to help your family in this hour. It may be in the matter of serving the Lord. You may be in Gilgal. You may say, I'm resting here. I'm tired. I don't want to go to do battle. I don't want to go teach a fifth grade boys class. I don't want to go to choir practice. And sometimes good people get tired. And I suppose Joshua could have said, hey, I'm tired, God, of all these battles. Don't you know I'm up in years? But Joshua didn't say that. Joshua rose up and he took the battle to the north, and he won a great victory for God. Some of you have been saved a little while. You're a little bit tired. Perhaps the thought of coming to the conference next week is just a little much for you, but I want to challenge you this morning to have some courage and to step out and to realize we're never too old to serve God and to love God. Be faithful for Him in serving and building and going forward. Sometimes it takes courage when we're suffering just to keep going for the Lord. And I suppose as they fought those battles, some of their friends were killed. Maybe some arms were lost. And yet they had to regroup and cleanse up and then go back out again and serve the Lord again. Yesterday I was at the funeral service of a dear friend of mine who went home to be with the Lord Tuesday. And as I went to the service and went there to spend a little time before the service with the family, I was amazed, really, at the courage of the people, the courage of the family. folks gathered in the gymnasium, in the auditorium, the overflow areas, and as they were there to say goodbye to their pastor, their husband, their father. And I'll never forget, as the choir came in and sang the first song, the faithfulness of God, with their pastor's casket in front of them. And I thought, what Christian courage I'm seeing here. Never forget, as the son-in-laws stood up and spoke about what they'd learned and how they would be faithful, and I thought of the courage they had to keep going. I took part of the handle there in the casket, and we walked the casket out. We placed it there in the hearse. Folks were weeping, their hearts were broken. I stepped back with the family and a few of the men from the church, and one of the men leaned over and said, "Brother Chapel, we're going to keep the gospel going into Toronto. Don't worry." Amen. Christian courage. Men who could have been discouraged and said, "We're going to quit." Men who had every right to wallow in their own emotion, and yet they said, "But with God's help, we're going to keep going." And I don't know what you're facing today, but I know this: the devil is always telling people to quit. And he's telling you it's not worth it and it shouldn't have happened this way. And you got a bum rap. But I want to remind you this morning that 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And my friend, God is faithful, and he will see you to the other side, and he will conquer the enemy, and he can give you the victory. But you must have the faith to trust in him, and the obedience in the small things. And you must have the courage, even when it doesn't look very good, to keep on believing God and doing what God has called you to do. But I truly believe we are just beginning to see what God wants to see done in this place, if we will have courage and confidence in him. Joshua received many blessings from the Lord. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." They were able to have every blessing of God. It all came to pass. Why? It came to pass because of a man who believed that God was able. I close with this. By faith, Joshua entered the promised land. The promised land is not heaven. Sometimes it's a type of heaven for some people. It's not heaven. Heaven is better by far. But by faith he entered. Hear me. By faith, you can enter into a relationship with God today. By faith, you can know that heaven is your eternal home someday. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to me. Entering into the promised land was God's gift to Israel. And entering into heaven and knowing the forgiveness of Christ is God's gift to everyone who believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? My friend, you don't need to take a Bible college class to settle that issue. If you believe that you are a sinner separated from God because of sin, and if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to forgive you of that sin, then even right now you could pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, to come into your life and save you from your sin, and give you a home in heaven for all of eternity. You could make that call to Jesus Christ right now by prayer and be saved through faith.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, that is such an important and simple decision, and we would be so delighted to know that you've made that decision as a result of this broadcast. If you'll call or write to us and let us know that you've trusted Christ, we would like to send you a gift copy of the Word of God and also a little work booklet to help you begin growing in your Christian faith. I'll give you the contact information in just a moment. This is Daily in the Word. You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. You can find out more about our ministry or send us an email when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. On the site, you can listen to past broadcasts and recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast, a way of downloading Daily in the Word to your computer or your iPod and being able to take it with you and listen to it on your own time at your convenience. Consider recommending Daily in the Word to a friend who does not know about our ministry, and let them know about Daily in the Word. Also, you can subscribe to the Daily Devotional from Dr. Chappell free of charge that will arrive every morning in your email inbox. There are many more resources on the website, much more information. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. We do have a gift for you this month when you call or write to us. Just let us know that you're listening. Let us know that this program is touching your life. It's a book written by Dr. Chappell entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference. This book will encourage you as we explore three great Bible leaders and how they made a difference. We will be challenged by the vision of Joshua, the passion of Nehemiah, and the faith of Joseph. All of it in a little booklet entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference. It's our gift to you this month when you call us, write to us, or let us know that you're listening. All of it can happen by visiting dailyintheword.org or by calling us toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.